If you will, look in your Bible at 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read a verse early on, verse 3, and then we're going to skip down to verse 18 after we read verse 3. 1 Peter 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, go down to verse 18. And we'll read through the end of the chapter. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers. Just a quick note. If you remember, we talked about the old nature and the new nature. The old nature that we're born with in Adam before we meet Jesus, before we're born again. This is what he's talking about here. This old way of life we were redeemed from. This futile way of life inherited from our forefathers. Then we were redeemed, it says verse 19, but with the precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Verse 20, for he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. Now, get this, verse 23 is important to our message this morning. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh, that's the natural man, that's the old nature, that we, the old man in Adam that we were born in before our new birth, all natural flesh is like grass, and all its glory, like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. I.e., this is the word that was preached to you that you believed, and the nature of God became implanted, engrafted into you. This eternal word that brings eternal life and eternal nature. Now, verse chapter 2. Let's read the first three verses. Therefore, so all of this we just discussed, he's saying all of this that we're just discussed, he said, because of all this, laying aside, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. If you have tasted that the Lord is good, the Lord is gracious. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word that's eternal, that's powerful, that's living and active. We thank you, Lord, that the scriptures, the Bible we have, Lord, is an inspired and perfect representation of your will. And Lord, we pray today, Holy Spirit, that you would just open up the eyes of our hearts. We thank you that those of us who know you, that you have given us an ability to hear and perceive what you're saying. So give us fresh ears this morning. Speak to us. Expand our understanding. And Lord, I pray that you give us grace for grace. You give us grace to embrace the message of grace so that we'll not leave anything on the table today, Lord. That we'll all we'll eat and deep drinkly of what you deeply of you today, of what you have for us, Lord. And to that end, we pray and thank you in advance in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. First thing, to truly grow in this new life that we have in Christ, to truly grow, you might call it in salvation, because that's what he says here, that we might grow in respect to salvation. To truly grow in the salvation that Jesus has for us, this new nature that he gives us as we trust him, as we're born again, the Word of God is indispensable. There's no substitute for it. There is no real lasting growth. There's no assimilation of the character and nature of Christ in us. Christ will not be exalted in our lives without us feeding on the Word of God. There's just no other way. Now, there are other things God does, but nothing that's independent of the ministry of God's Word. Now, I'm going to show you something to me that stuck out that was immediately caused a question, but then it brought a wonderful sense. Now, I'm throwing this word around born again, being born again. It's a biblical phrase, right? And we'll see a few minutes, we'll see from John 3 where that first came. Jesus is the first one who mentioned this being born again. But look in verse 3, 1 Peter 1:3, where we started. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So God caused us, those of us who have received Jesus, he caused you to be born again through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Now look at verse 23, same chapter, 1:23. Peter, same guy, same thought, but look how he says it. "For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God." Now, there's no contradiction here, but it's an interesting thing. The question that came to mind, the way he says we're born again through the resurrection of Jesus. And then over here he says we're born again through the Word of God. Okay, which is it, Paul? Or Peter, which is it? Well, it's both. See, the resurrection of Jesus, as we talked about a little bit last week, the resurrection of Jesus, when Jesus comes out of the grave in this humanity that he had taken on in the womb of the Virgin, and had taken through the cross, had all our sin had been placed on. When he raised out of the dead, he was raised in humanity, in redeemed humanity that had already passed through all the judgment of sin and came out victorious above sin, above death, above everything the devil could do. That's the new nature. That's the new nature that we get, okay? So he raised up from the dead. So here's this new nature. He sent it back to heaven. How does that new nature in heaven, this God-man Jesus who's seated on the throne, how does that nature get into me? Gets in me by God's wisdom through the conveyance of this message, the conveyance of what we're talking about is conveyed through the Word of God. And as we believe the Word, as we believe the gospel message, and we say, yes, I agree, I want this, I yield to this, the Holy Spirit takes the nature of Jesus through the conveyance, the wisdom of the Word of God, and does it, puts it in us. Transfer the same nature, the same spiritual DNA that's in Jesus and puts it in us. So we are born again by the resurrection. That's the very life we get, that same life, that same nature that came out of the grave. That's what the Holy Spirit will put inside of those who believe the gospel, who turn from their selfish life and surrender to Jesus and receive him as their all in all. Amen? Whew, glory to God. That's worth thinking about for a while, for the rest of our lives, isn't it? Jesus' incorruptible life and nature is only imparted through the Word of the Gospel, through the Word of truth, the Word of God. That's the only way this nature gets imparted. Initially, in the new birth, and then as we'll see, that's how we feed the new nature. So, the same Word that imparts the nature of God, the nature of Christ in the new birth, is the same Word that now nourishes that life in us. You initially receive Jesus and get born again through the Word, and now that new nature that's planted in you needs nourishment. And its nourishment, its food, is more and more of the same. More and more of the truth of God, the truth of His will, the truth of who Jesus is, the truth of who we are now in Him. And as we come to understand that, as we feed on that, His nature actually grows in us. We grow in respect to salvation. Are you with me? So it's pretty obvious if I'm not feeding, I'm not going to be growing much. Now, watch this. The same Word that unveils and imparts the nature of Jesus, the gospel, that same Word that imparts also feeds and nourishes. Now watch this. Look at verse 23 again with me. Chapter 1, verse 23. And we see this reference to seed. "For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but seed that's imperishable." Seed. He uses this metaphor of seed. Now notice this. Now down in chapter 2, verse 2. "Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that you may grow in respect to salvation." He's changed metaphors. You see it? First he's talking about seed. Now he's talking about milk. The seed of the Word, and now he's saying the milk of the Word. But it's the same Word. The seed of the Word is what imparts the DNA. It imparts the nature and life of Jesus into us. And that same Word also is milk now that we feed on. It's beautiful how Peter picked these metaphors to show the depth and the complexity and the wonder of the Word of God, how it does all of these things for us. So if we're going to grow in this new nature, we're going to have to feed on the milk of the Word of God. We love these metaphors. Number one, though, must precede number two. Being born again precedes the milk. You've got to embrace the seed. You've got to embrace the gospel in repentance and faith to receive Jesus before the milk of the Word will be any benefit to you. Because the milk of the Word of God does not perfect your old nature. Remember what God did with that? He nailed it to the cross in Jesus. God's solution for the old nature is crucifixion. God's plan for growing the new nature is the nourishment of the Word of God in our lives. Everybody with me? Tracking with me? Okay, so to truly digest, to taste and digest the milk of the Word that Peter's talking about, he says we should long for, crave the pure milk of the Word. To truly be able to do that requires the new nature and some abilities that are given to us in the new nature that you don't have until then. Just as I have physical taste and physical smell, physical sight, the new nature in Jesus, the spiritual nature, the incorruptible eternal nature has its own senses, has its own abilities. Spiritual taste, spiritual hearing, spiritual seeing. Are you with me? And if I don't have the new nature, if I'm not born again, I don't have those spiritual sensibilities. So that is, I mean, we're talking about serious implications here. Because if you're not born again, here's what Jesus said to, remember Nicodemus came at night to see Jesus? He was a teacher of the law, highly educated in the law. The Bible of the day, the Old Testament. He probably memorized the whole first five books anyway, had memorized at some point in his life, the Torah. And here's a man who, evidently, the Holy Spirit is already, he's drawing him to Jesus. But he comes at night because he doesn't want to get in trouble with all his buddies who were against Jesus at the time, but something in him, there was a hunger. Now listen, anytime you see a hunger, anytime you experience a hunger for God or the things of God, that itself is proof that God's at work. Because the old nature, the old man left to himself, does not hunger for these things. There's no sensibility for it. So he comes to Jesus, and before he can ask any question, Jesus says, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born again because no, he says, John 3:3, you can look it up. He says, because no one can see the kingdom of God unless he or she is first born again. You can't even see, you have no discernment of what God's about until he gives you that new nature. And if you have that new nature in him, though you may not have recognized it yet, there's a lot of growing that has to happen. If you've got the new nature, you have the capacity to see and sense what God's up to. Now, it has to be grown. It needs to be developed. We learn. There's so much to learn. Part of the thing the Word of God does will teach us how to recognize when God's speaking to us, to recognize where God's at work. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So, without that new nature, you don't have the spiritual taste and sensibilities. The old nature just can't do it. I want to show you something in John's Gospel quickly. If you want to back up to John's Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and look at, there's a couple of verses here you may have never seen, and I want to draw it to your attention because it shows us, if you will, it shows us the blindness and the insensitivity that's innate to the old nature, that nature we're born with. Look with me in John 3. It's the same chapter I just referred to about Nicodemus, where this idea of being born again first gets introduced, where Jesus shares this truth about being born again that Peter now is using the apostles taught in their letters, but they heard it from Jesus, right? So here we are in John 3. Jesus has given us that wonderful verse that many of us memorize in Sunday school or vacation Bible school, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him would not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16, same chapter, just a couple of verses down. Look with me at verse 19. Jesus says, this is the judgment. He's not talking about end time judgment here. He's talking about this is Let me clear up any confusion, Jesus said. This is light coming and explaining what's going on. This is the judgment that light, the light has come into the world. He's talking about himself. This is the judgment that the light has come into the world and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. The old nature is alienated from God and really does not want God or his will or his ways. We want any number of worldly substitutes, and usually we prefer the cleaner kind that keeps us out of trouble, that might be celebrated in the world around us. Because the world that's apart from Jesus has its own solutions for all our needs. Temporary solutions that leave you ultimately empty and even in bondage, right? Am I the only one who's ever went down those trails a ways? I don't think I'm the only one. Here's one of the biggest mistakes we can make. Looking to the old nature and expecting from it what only can happen through the new nature. Let's say you've met the Lord. And if you have, you know that, especially if you can remember when that happened in your life, if you were older when it happened, you'll remember your eyes got opened. Your spiritual eyes got opened. And all of a sudden, you saw the world differently. It's like it's a different world I'm living in now. All of a sudden, the Word of God takes on a whole new taste, doesn't it? And you don't look at things the same way. You don't even look at things that you used to just love. You couldn't see yourself living without. Now you're just like, God, what is that? These things happen initially when you're born again, right? And then here is family members or friends of yours that aren't born again. And you're trying to explain it to them, and they're just like going, they don't get it. They don't see it. They can't see it unless they receive Jesus like you have. So we see how central and how important it is that the seed of God bursts the new nature in us. And then after that's happened, we realize that I've got to live out of this new nature that Jesus has put in me. I've got to expect Him and desire Him to help me with through this new nature to perceive what I'm not perceiving. Because if all you do is do the way you've always done, you just rely on your own thoughts. Don't lean to your own understanding, the Proverbs says. Don't lean to your own understanding. You need revelation. You need insight into the Word of God that only God Himself can give. And He wants to give it, but we need to acknowledge that. Amen? All right, so consider the amazing metaphor that we have here back in 1 Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2. This amazing metaphor, and that we're going to just spend the rest of our time just circling around this. This metaphor of a newborn babe. He says, like newborn babies. Long for, literally, it's a craving. Like a newborn baby, crave the pure spiritual milk of the Word. Those reading the letter, reading this when he sent it, there would have been some that were brand new Christians. But this letter was probably written around A.D. 64, more than 30 years after Jesus had ascended back to heaven. And many people would have already, by this time you've probably got second, maybe even third generation Christians. He's talking to some people that could have been Christians for as many as 30 years at this point, okay? They're not newborn Christians. They're not brand new Christians. Right off the bat assumes that we can lose the freshness of that born-again experience. We can lose that craving, that savor of the good things of God. And we can settle. Now, let's just think about a newborn. Because if I'm understanding Peter, this should be the initial experience of a Christian, but it should become the lifestyle as well. So a newborn baby, it's born with a tummy that is created and designed to digest more or less complex nutrients. And not at the very beginning. You don't start it on that, but you start it on milk, don't you? But think about this. When this baby comes into the world, comes through mama's labor, and now he or she is out in the world, suddenly, never before in its 9-month existence, never before, but now suddenly, it's aware that its tummy is empty. And it's automatically hungry. Just a few minutes before, still in the womb, has no awareness of hunger. But you cut the umbilical cord. Bring that baby out into the world. Bring it out from hiddenness into manifestation. This new nature comes out, and immediately there's this craving, this hunger. But you know what? Doesn't even know what it's hungry for. Maybe doesn't even know it's hunger. He just knows something ain't right. I need something. Because he's created, he's formed. The DNA causes that to happen because that's health. That's health. And guess what? This little baby is born with something else that's never been used. Not only a tummy, he's born with taste buds. Isn't he? Isn't she? She's got these taste buds. Never had a piece of food go across. Has no idea what that's about, what that's for. All she knows is she's hungry. And then in the design that we all know that's it's essential, that baby begins to nurse. And doesn't even know what that is. But just something innate, some sensibility, some ability that this baby has is not even learned. It's just there. Because it's part of the nature. And that baby gets the drop, the first drop of milk. That baby tastes that milk, and it's not conscious thoughts, but everything in its body says, yes! Yes! That's what I'm looking for. And she drinks until she's full, and she's ready to just chill. She said, that's it. Oh, that's it. That's what I'm made for. As far as she knows at that point, that's about all she's made for. It's just getting this nourishment. It tastes good. It gives me peace. And little does she know, she's got a tummy that was already designed by DNA to take that milk and convert it into protein, take the proteins out of that milk and convert it into muscle, into skeletal structure, and all these things, it starts growing. Are you with me? It's a beautiful metaphor that shows us what the Word of God does. But not only that, it shows us that the new nature has all of these sensibilities. You say, well, I didn't know that. Well, you don't have to know. The newborn baby didn't know that. But he begins to experience it when the Word of God is put in proximity, when the milk is put in proximity to these organs, these sensibilities that God has given. What else? Eyes. She's got fully functioning eyes right there in the womb. Never used them. Never operated. Never even knew she had eyes. She comes out and the placenta, the things, she gets cleaned off. The doctors, the nurses clean her face off. And all of a sudden, I mean, light is coming in. And in fact, that's about all she sees. It's just the light. But it doesn't take long because of the design, of the gift, of the nature of the DNA. Those eyes, increasingly, as days and the next few weeks, increasingly began to bring into focus things she never saw before. Jesus, if you've got the nature of in Him in you, this sensitivity, this ability of spiritual sight can grow. It can be perfected. And if you're in Him, you got it, whether or not you've realized it or not. You know, that's so much of what growth in Christianity is finding out what we have that we didn't know we have. See, here's what the flesh does. Here's what the law does. And I'm not saying the law is flesh, but the law exposes flesh. What the law does, it tells you all the stuff you're not, or all the stuff you shouldn't do. Tells you what you don't have. You shouldn't do that. You should do this. You shouldn't be like this. This is what you should be like. But it doesn't give you any ability. But grace, the gospel, gives you the ability up front. So the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes in our life, let me tell you one way you can know it's the Holy Spirit talking to you. He's not going to show you what you don't have. He's going to show you what you do have. And you don't know. Some of you, like me, got a whole lot more tools than you use. Some of you guys especially, you know, it's like, give me tools, give me tools, give me tools. I love my tools. Some of these tools I've never used much. And you might, you know, somebody might come in with a tool and say, hey, and I'm looking at him, I don't know what that is. I might even have it in my toolbox, but I've never used it. I don't know how to use it. It's mine. It's in my toolbox. I just never understood how to use it and what it's for. And then somebody creates YouTube. I go, that's what that tool's for. Wow, you know, I got that. See, that's what the Holy Spirit's like, YouTube. He comes and shows you, do it yourself. It's not do it yourself, but begin to do with the nature that you have in Him that you might have never drawn on before. Are you with me? If you're in Jesus, I'm going to tell you right now, you're a have, not a have not. The devil will tell you you're a have not. The world will tell you you're a have not. The world will put labels on you, all that, but the Holy Spirit comes to show you who you are, what you got. And it'll always be in keeping with this word. Matter of fact, he's even the Holy Spirit, in a sense, I would say this reverently, is shackled. He's limited. And what he can do for you apart from the word, because in the wisdom of God, the Trinity operates in unity. It's God just has ordained and decided and desired that he will impart the nourishment. He will bring the wisdom you need by the Spirit breathing on the word. If you want to grow, if you want to get the victory, then under the Spirit's help, through the new nature that's in you, open this word up and say, feed me, rock of ages, feed me. Let me drink water from the rock. Let me drink water from the source of living water, Jesus himself. Craving God's word, hungering and thirsting for God's word, is not to be just an upfront experience for new Christians. God wants it to continually be a new and refreshed reality in our life. And I'll be the first to admit, there have been seasons, sometimes long seasons in my life, when it was absent. And I can tell you, every one of those seasons was marked by spiritual decline. And if I go 2 or 3 days without really feeding on the word, personally, I find I get discouraged. One of the first things, there's just a heaviness I begin to feel. Even an undefined heaviness that comes in on me. And I'll get discouraged. And I also find myself getting more critical of those around me. Just 2 or 3 days without the word. Have you ever fasted? You ever gone 2 or 3 days without food? Some of you like me who do, you know, these older age, middle age tests where you have to fast and all that. I just miss a couple of meals and I find myself kind of getting testy, you know. Is it any wonder, as Christians sometimes, there's so many ugly acting Christians when we go so long a period without feeding? We're expecting, I guess, the old nature to do what it can't do. How many have heard of the term colostrum? Anybody? Best of you farmers, you raise these calves, and you know, colostrum is the first milk that comes. And it is even a different color. And the reason is because it is filled with maternal antibodies. It's filled with immunity to disease that the mother already has and is imparting into that new baby. So, because that new baby is not mature enough yet, its immune system hasn't kicked in. It hasn't been exposed to this stuff. And so it's God's way of helping protect that brand new baby from illness while it's so small, right? And that first milk, he says like newborn babes. Newborn babes, that's the milk they get. It's just a whole other picture here. I love the metaphors the Holy Spirit gives us, don't you? You get the Word of God in you, and Satan doesn't have much. He doesn't have much he can do to you, I'm telling you. There's an immunity to a lot of trouble that we have in life. Now, not all trouble. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. So God doesn't make us immune from trouble, but there's some trouble that you don't have to have. There's some stuff that's unnecessary because the immunity of God's Word, when I'm feeding on it, the immunity of God's Word will help keep this stuff at bay. That's another picture that we need this. And it's not just the early milk. This is what the Word of God does for us our entire Christian life. It's like our antibiotics. It's just like constantly keeping us fighting the bacteria that wants to rob our health. This is your inheritance. This is your new senses, your new ability, if you're in Jesus, if you've got His nature in you. And you and I should regularly expect those abilities to be in gear. And we should put these abilities in proximity to the Word of God so they can get in gear. Are you with me? You have taste buds, but if you don't put food in your mouth, you don't taste anything. You've got spiritual taste buds, but if you're not getting the Word in, you're not going to taste it. And what happens is we kind of lose that sense of taste, and we get desensitized, and we may go long periods without really feeding on God's Word, and we're not going to be growing. We'll just be settled and sitting there. Now, Matthew 4:4, do you remember when Jesus was tempted? After he was baptized, this is just at the beginning of his public ministry. He's been filled with the Holy Spirit, anointed for ministry, and the first thing that happens is the Spirit of God leads him out into the wilderness to be tempted. And he goes into this long fast, a 40-day fast, remember? The guy's going to be hungry. And the devil comes to him. He says, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. So he's playing on this physical weakness that Jesus is experiencing, right? Remember Jesus, how he fended off the devil? Tell me, what did he say? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds, that's the present tense in the Greek, by every word that is proceeding from the mouth of God. And just a few days before, at his baptism, when the heavens opened, the Spirit of God came down, there was a voice, wasn't it? And everybody heard it, not just Jesus. What did that voice say? Anybody remember? Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That's that colostrum right there. That's that thing. You're my Son. I know you. I love you. I'm pleased in you. And look what gets attacked. He goes out in the wilderness. The first thing the devil says, if you're the Son, if you really are the Son. See how, just like Adam and Eve, when the devil went against the Word, he's coming against the Word, but Jesus is full of the Word. Now listen, if Jesus was successful being tempted under Satan's power only by relying upon the Word, how in the world of us who still have sin? He never had sin. He didn't have a sin. He didn't have the old nature we got. How in the world do you and I think we can be successful fighting off the temptations of the devil without being filled with the goodness of the Word of God? Amen? We need it. There's just no substitute for it. So let me close then. Let me give an illustration and we'll be done. Friends, God is not done speaking to you. He's only just begun. God is not done speaking to His kids. Matter of fact, throughout eternity, we're still going to be growing. We're still going to be communing. We're still going to be gaining insight. And the riches of our inheritance are still going to be being explored and understood. Are you with me? And it begins now and continues now. So don't settle. Don't settle. It doesn't matter how long you've walked with Jesus. It doesn't matter if it won't be long. It'll be 40 years I've been in the ministry. And it's like there's just never a place to settle because we need this current, constant feeding on His Word so that we can walk in victory. Now, I want to read a testimony that I read this week from a daily devotional by a guy named A.W. Tozer, who's long since been with the Lord. But he's remembering a conversation he had with a theologian, a guy named Dr. Gray, James Gray. He says, the noted Bible teacher telling of a Christian brother, a Michigan farmer, whose spiritual life had suddenly blossomed until there was an overflowing of God's presence. So this Dr. Gray is telling this story. Oh, there's this guy I know that some things suddenly began to happen. There's this overflowing. It's like he's an older Christian and some fresh things just began to happen in his life. Many in the man's community recognized the change in his life and personality and sought spiritual counsel from him. So Dr. Gray had the opportunity to ask the man about the transformation of his spiritual life and witness. And here's what the man said. He said, Dr. Gray, I began to devote myself to the Scriptures for my own need. For my own need. Now, he might have been a Sunday school teacher, see? And he devoted himself to the Scriptures so he could teach. He might have been a pastor who week after week is preparing messages for people. So he has a sermon. I study, so I have a sermon. Oh, whoa, whoa, you're getting ahead. You're putting the cart before the horse, Pastor. You need the Word of God for you. You need the Word of God for your own victory. And then and only then do you out of an overflow share. So it's like there's never a time where we stop feeding. Are you with me? Dr. Gray, I began to devote myself to the Scriptures for my own need, the man humbly explained. Something happened when God opened my spiritual understanding as I studied the book of Ephesians. I cannot really explain what the Lord is doing for me and through me, but it has come through prayerful meditation in the Word of God. And then Tozer finishes by saying, none of us can expect to get the rich, transforming blessings from God apart from the Scriptures. And it's never too late. My granddaddy, right at the end of his life, never knew him to be, always knew him to be a good church man, but I never knew him to be a man that had this relish for the pure spiritual milk of the Word. Whenever you talk to him, the Word was not coming out of him. Nothing evil was coming out of him. He was a good granddaddy. He loved us. But after my grandmother died and he went through a season he didn't expect, I think everybody thought she would, you know, survive him, but he survived her. And some of the things that he had relied on, and we should rely on one another, but never as a substitute for relying on God. And when some of those things were moved away somehow, and probably didn't hurt the fact that his son, my daddy, and me and my brothers had all had personal revival. And we've gotten excited about the Lord. We were feeding on the Word. And every time we were around, it's just coming out of us. It's something, I think, helped stir him up. Listen, if you want to get on fire, get around people that are on fire, okay? If you want to get hungry for the Word, get around people that are hungry for the Word. And my granddaddy, I can remember one of the, I guess the last enduring memory I have of my granddaddy, I can see it right now, walking into his living room, his easy chair there, about 7-foot ceilings, this old frame house, and that Dearborn stove over there, it's so hot you could barely stay in there. You know, I had to come in low because he'd have it so warm in there. And he's there, and he's got his Bible open in his lap. He says, "Come." By this time, I'm a young pastor. He says, "Dane, come here, come here, come here." And I just knelt down there, sat down there on the floor by him. And he starts talking about the Word of God. He says, "It seems to me this is what the Lord's saying. What do you think?" That had never happened. In all those years, I'd never seen that. But here he was, getting ready to meet the Lord. And when he went to meet the Lord, he went in a condition of freshness. Are you with me? Oh, there's no other way to leave this planet. But actually, there's no other way to live on this planet. Are you with me? 10 days back, 2 weeks back, I'm in Walmart. And Marilyn and I are doing some shopping, taking some Christmas stuff back that need to be returned. And I needed to go through the pharmacy and get a few things in the pharmacy section. I come around the corner, and there's this little lady with her walker. And she's got her nurse's aide with her. And she's coming along. And she's right in front of the counter there where the probiotics are, what I need, because I'm still getting over my gut stuff. You guys remember. This is just 10 days back. And she goes, "Oh, young man, am I in your way?" And I said, "Honey, if I knew what I was looking for, there's 40 different types of probiotics. I don't even know what I'm looking for." "No, you're not in my way." And I said, "I had this diverticulitis a couple weeks ago, and I've been having this." She goes, "Oh, it's the worst." She said, "I've had it." And we just start kind of talking there for a minute. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God in me, the nature of Jesus in me, evidently became obvious to the nature of Jesus in her. And she discerned by the Spirit of God in her that she was in the presence of a brother in Christ. And she didn't know I had been sick and struggling. And all of a sudden, that little lady, she takes her hands off that stroller. She lifts her hands. She said, "Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace." And tears start coming down her face. And by that moment, it's already coming in. It's just coming into me. That's the Word. See, that was the Word, the pure spiritual milk of the Word that she had been putting in herself year after year after year. And now an opportunity came, and it just came right out of her. I mean, she was on her last legs. I mean, she's just getting around, and her nurse's aide was over there going, she can't see it. She's probably not a Christian. See, she doesn't even know what this is. How do you define this? What is this? There's something going on here, but I can't touch it. Well, if you're born again, you can. Especially if you get around it. Are you with me? And all I can say is I went away there feeling like I had experienced a touch from God, because I had. Because the Word came out of her. And when the Word comes out of your mouth and it's His Word, it's Him coming out. And whatever's true of His Word, whatever possible of His Word, is possible through you. You speak His Word. I'm not making some kind of name it, claim it doctrine. I'm just saying the Word of God is living and powerful. And causes dead things to live. Brings in new nature where there's only death. And feeds the life of God. Okay, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the good Word of God. The testimony of your goodness and faithfulness and your love. Thank you, Lord, that your goodness has appeared, your mercy has appeared through Jesus, through the cross. And Lord, thank you for every man, woman, and child here today within the sound of my voice and those who may be listening or watching via the internet, Lord. I pray for everyone. Lord, those who may be here who have really never yielded to you, Lord, I pray that even right now they would, even in this very moment. And friend, you can just right now in your heart say, Lord, it's time. I yield. I surrender right now. You can just pray that. Lord, I receive the good word of God. I receive the impartation of a new nature. I need it. I can't live without it. Lord, I can't please you without it. Lord, thank you that you died and rose again so this could be mine. I receive it. I receive you. Thank you, Jesus. You can just pray that. Receive him. If there's any doubt in your mind and you have something stirring in you, a hunger, that hunger is proof that God himself is working. He's for you and not against you. Respond to him. Receive him. And Lord, for the rest of us who have gone through seasons of renewal and hunger and then also seasons of being spiritually cool or even cold, forgive us, Lord, for thinking we can make it without feeding. Lord, I pray for a fresh hunger, a fresh sense of desire and appetite among your people for the things of God, for the Word of God. And we thank you, Lord, that you will not disappoint us. Thank you in advance for our growth, for our good, our joy, and your glory that will come as a result of this. We commit these things to you now in Christ's holy name. Amen.